actually want to see, so I'm kind of peering through the light to see everybody and be with you. It's good for me to be back here, too. I've been gone maybe 10 days or so, and I came back, and the conversation about masculine and feminine dynamics was a really relevant topic in our spaces. And I had some really interesting experiences while I was away that I'd like to share with you, if it's okay. My trip started and had an experience of me meeting with about 15 women that were coming together in a goddess temple that had a giant, really old tree growing inside the house. And we got together and we thought about some programming that we were going to bring to an upcoming event that we're going to do together. And really dropped into the frequency of love. The project that we're working with is called Cosmic Heart. And it's such a necessary function, we find, because in the bridge that we were building it with is in the age of technology. What does it mean to bring love? And in the age of AI, what does it mean to be human? And they're very simple questions. But when it comes down to it, I believe what we can find is that in all the busyness of the doing and the things that we're attempting to achieve, what's the simple way in which we're being? And if it's all vibration, then what vibration are we bringing? And it's a very simple context and a very simple question, but I think that the more we ask that question, the more complicated some of the answers get. On the second leg of my journey, I found myself, it's vulnerable for me. I'm feeling a level of vulnerability come up for me because I don't typically share about my adventures or my travel experiences or where I've been, just for whatever reasons. I feel like, I don't know, maybe like no one really wants to hear about it, or like it's not like in the right necessary context to share for whatever reason. But I'm trying this new thing out about being radically vulnerable and allowing myself to fully share who I am with the people that I'm with. It's a crazy concept, I know. I'm trying it on and seeing what it feels like. And I gotta be honest with you guys, it feels really good to feel a little shy, right? To put myself consciously out there and be like, I don't know, like, check yes or no. Yeah. There's a level of innocence in it for me that, to be honest, I thought I didn't have anymore. I thought I had to be tough and maybe boss-like in some way. And then I realized I didn't know anything or what I was talking about anyway, so it didn't really matter. Reality is most of us don't either. So that felt good. But in the next layer of my thinking over the last week, something really interesting came up for me. And the way I can explain it is that I had an existential crisis in an Uber in downtown Brooklyn. And I had just come from a very fancy event at the United Nations and met some people at another type of event in Brooklyn where it was like 180 degree turn of what was happening. I stayed there about 10 minutes and I was like, I can't be here. I need to leave and I need to leave right now. It just vibrationally wasn't a match for me. And I was in the back of this Uber on my way home. And leaving that experience of like the vibrational dissonance that I was experiencing in combination with a big truck that was coming by with super thick metal walls. And I could see the chain link fences and the graffiti on the walls and the barbed wire on the fences and the trash on the ground and the bricks, the thick bricks. And I'm thinking to myself, at what point in the evolution of our species did we think it was a good idea for us to exchange beauty for security? How much of the beauty did we actually distort or destroy in some way as a species in hopes to gain better security and more protection? I really felt it, and it really hit me hard. And then I thought, at what point did I decide it was a good idea to live a life where I guarded myself from others? To protect myself from being hurt or judged or shamed or any of those other fun things that we can find ourselves in when we're up late at night. And then, quite honestly, I'll share a deeper level of this experience with you. But there was an image of something that came to me. And it was so beautiful. It was almost like an elven-crafted golden ark with jewels and made of gold and just absolutely exquisite and just pure. It was so pure you could almost hear it singing. And it was in a field and the sun was setting and I could tell very clearly that little glimpse of whatever this structure was attached to a people in some way. Like, I could tell off in the distance there were a people who lived in this land. And the people who lived in this land cared deeply for one another and their environment and would never think to ever distort the beauty of that peace that was there in this open field, completely undefended. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be a really beautiful way for us to live as people? To allow our beauty and what is inside of us that wants to come out to shine so brightly and so purely and so elegantly and so intricately that the people that were creating that type of civilization revered it. What we were sharing with each other in a way that allowed all of us to really be seen, to really be heard, to really be experienced with each other. And when I think about regenerative ideas, I think it all comes back to home and the self and the inner experience and how we can begin to create in small groups of people together and how to do these things. And I thought, well, that could be possible. I think if I can think it, then I think it might be able to be possible. And I'm really dedicated to understanding and learning more on how to do that. And in our service consideration, there was a conversation of, yes, and let's not lose the sexuality aspect of this. Because that's a really good part of this whole thing about masculine and feminine dynamics. And I hope in some way there was a way for all of us to understand, as I was explaining that process that I had, that there were very clear masculine and feminine interplays in there. Probably more feminine, right? Because it was, but there was definitely masculine in there as well. Yes? Yeah? Okay, good. And I thought, yes, sexuality, that's a great topic. Let's go there. And I realized as I was having my own thought process in the new developments of the conversation that we were having together that I feel that I could have just as much of a passionate experience that I would with a man than I would with a woman, and as a lover as I would with a friend, because there's no difference. in the experience for me, in the way I'm thinking about this, because when you allow yourself to have that process of having yourself be seen and experienced and see others from that place of beauty and creativity and genius that is burgeoning through people in like this beautiful, fertile place of life coming through, everything's a miracle. Everything's a wonder. Everything's an exhilarating, blissful opportunity to journey and explore deeper into the true divine level of communion that's meant to destiny being revealed, that it all becomes a creative experience. It all becomes communion. Those are just code words for life coming together to make something new, to have a beautiful, wonderful, amazing experience. But I also know that it doesn't stop there, right? It never just stops in, we'll say, the heartgasm. Because once that happens, there's gestation and there's conscious parenting of the things that we choose to create with others. No matter what it is. Because if you're not actually doing that part of it, you're not allowing flow to actually flow because it's going through a place of structureless, formless creation. And so to have the understanding of how to frame things with people that you are in relationship with, no matter what type of relationship, no matter how it's being brought, the way it's being brought is of the essence. And without that level of really bringing it all the way through and seeing it all the way through while allowing things to actually grow and develop and take form in their own life, right? I think Arise is a good example for many of the people who birthed that experience. To really let it have its own experience of embodying its soul destiny, of a project, of a child, of a relationship, of an idea. We have like, what, 10, 12,000 people showing up? Those quite possibly could be 10, 12,000 people showing up to have an opportunity of what I attempted to share with you in a short amount of time. But I don't think it stops there. I mean, we get to have the privilege of living with each other 365. And if we're lucky, some of the people that we're in community with, we get to grow old with, or have the privilege of growing up with in some cases. And what a joy that is, to allow ourselves to live unveiled, undefended, and knowing that it's held in reverence. That's what I've been thinking about lately, and thank you for spending some time with me this evening.